All right. Good morning, GCF Church. How many of y'all were here last week at the Easter service? Wasn't it good? It's an amazing. Let's give. I just don't. Just want to honor Pastor Eddie and Beatty for all their hard work to make that happen. I don't think any of us know how much they put in to make sure that went so well. And obviously the dozens and dozens of people that served. So thank y'all, Pastor Eddie and Betty, for your leadership. Wasn't that a good offering? Yeah. Now, I just want to honor Devon. He's doing an amazing job. He's our campus director at ECU. And he's doing an amazing job on campus. We have a fantastic team of staff and student leaders. And he's just done an amazing job of leading them. And so excited about what the future holds at ECU and in this church, and excited about that. A special thank you or an acknowledgement this morning to my wife. It's her birthday today. She's 25, right, man? Hey. Oh. All right. Line in church. Okay, look. We are in a series, or we're starting a series called Overwhelmed. How many of you have been overwhelmed before? Overwhelmed? A few of us. I was thinking of Lindsay up here talking about VBS, and I could see the overwhelmedness on her face. And it reminded me of this week. I coach sports occasionally. And I have signed my brother and I, he's not here so I can talk about him liberally, but I've signed my brother and I, we coach Big Fry Baseball. So basically 7-8-year-olds teaching them to play baseball. And baseball seems like a simple sport until you begin to teach it, right? It's a complicated sport. Imagine VBS with hard balls throwing it at each other, right? Right? And if you miss it, it could damage your face. That's baseball. And so I was overwhelmed. My brother was not at practice this week. I'm just looking at these 7-8-year-olds just warming up. I'm like, dear God, we're going to die. I'm trying to think of it. I literally was just wandering around in the outfield. Like, what are we going to do? Where do I begin? We've all been overwhelmed, haven't we? It might be that final project, right? That exam. Lord Jesus, help us, right? Have any students over here? Anybody graduating? Come on, graduates. Praise. Some of you might be overwhelmed at the next step of your journey, but we have hope, don't we? And I want to look this morning at this concept of overwhelmed, something that Jesus taught on, and it's fairly familiar. We're going to be in Matthew 11, 25 through 30, and we're going to look at what Jesus says to us in this kind of concept of being overwhelmed. Start in verse 25, Matthew 11, 25. It said, at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. It's funny when Jesus starts praying out loud, probably doesn't say it for his benefit, right? Says it for ours. I thank you, Lord, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. It's interesting here, in some of theologians, some historians will say, you know what, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels, synoptic meaning similar, don't really say that Jesus is God. That's something only John declares, and so they try to tear down Jesus' deity, that's not really what he taught. But clearly, Matthew is saying, look, no one knows the Father but the Son. And no one knows the Son but the Father, and anyone who the Son chooses to reveal him. And so Jesus is making a very clear statement. The only way to the Father is through me. So tearing down that the lie of the culture that Jesus didn't know who he was, he's just a good teacher, that's ridiculous. In fact, it's amazing here that Jesus is talking about his humility. Look at this. You ever had someone talk about their humility? Here Jesus is, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart. That's humble, some translations say. I'm humble, guys. Trust me, right? Now, if Jesus isn't God, that's a ridiculous statement, right? And here he is. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your word. Thank you, Lord, that there is an answer to this overwhelming task, these overwhelming things in our world. You know the balls that we're juggling, the things on our plate, like no one else. Help us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting here, Jesus, I've entitled this, The Yoke of Paradox. The Yoke Paradox. So get this, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'm going to put a yoke on you. Does that make any sense, right? Come to me, you're overwhelmed, you're heavy burdened, let me put this yoke on you. That doesn't make an ounce of sense unless we understand the context of what this is saying. The yoke paradox. So what is a yoke? So in the context, I've asked this on campus probably about 100 times as we go through the purple book, because there's a concept in here about a yoke. And about 90% of the time I'll get, is that like an egg yolk? No, it's not an egg yolk. Let's show a picture of, this is a yolk here. A yolk is a tool designed to bind two oxen together to work, right? So you bind these animals together with a yolk. It's an instrument of labor. You're going to harness them and drive them typically to plow a field. And so here is a yolk. Now, Jesus was not talking about a physical yoke, right? I mean, come to me, let me put this wooden yoke on you. What was Jesus talking about? In this context, Jesus was actually referred to in the Gospels 60 times as rabbi. He's a teacher. And so a teacher or a rabbi would come and gather a select number of disciples, and you would come under the teacher's yoke, his teaching. So a yoke here is the teaching of a rabbi to understand the Torah or understand the law. And so Jesus is saying, look, come to me, and I'm going to put my way of viewing the world. Okay? Come to me, I'm going to put my teaching on you. And that's what he's saying. And so this brings me to my first point. You are wearing a yoke. I'm going to say that again. You are wearing a yoke. You are wearing a yoke. Okay? So when Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, he's saying, look, there's already a yoke on you. We have this tendency to think, well, to follow Jesus would be constraining. It would be taking away my freedom. I had this happen maybe a couple years ago. I was leaving the house. Do y'all ever forget things? Okay, it's leaving the house. I'm in a hurry. So I couldn't even talk to my wife. I just got in the car, called my wife on the phone, and I'm driving, talking to her while I'm driving out of the neighborhood. And then I just, dadgummit. She's like, what did you forget? I forgot my phone. I literally turned around. I can't believe I forgot, dad. Hold on. Michelle's like, Blake, you're talking to me on your phone. Oh, yeah, so I'd turn back around, right? See, many times, and not many times, Even the thought process that you're telling me, hey, Blake, I don't have a yoke. Nothing's constraining me. You are talking through the very thing you're arguing with me about. The way you view the world, that you have this freedom, that you make your own decisions, that is a mindset, that is a yoke, that is a prevailing teaching, a philosophy of our Western world, that you're that independent. You're unchanged, you're unfaltered by the messages. Let me just tell you, billions of dollars are spent every year in this country on just the makeup of the grocery store. Just where we're going to put the items, where we're going to, the layout of the mall. Because we know if we do this a certain way, you'll spend more money. That's how independent you are. We can just change the environment and you'll walk in and spend more money. Well, not me. Sure. We're tracking you by algorithms. They're listening to you. I mean, you'll have a conversation in your house with that Echo Dot, and you'll get on your phone, and there's the item you said out loud. But you're independent. You make your own decisions, right? No, everything is trying. You are constrained. You have a yoke. Okay, you have a yoke. There's a philosophy that you're living your life by, the good life. You are ordering your life by a picture of what the good life is. If I can just put these things in place, then I'll be satisfied. I'll be fulfilled. It might be this idea that if I can throw off the constraints of culture, the constraints of religion, the way the world or my family or my past is trying, if I can throw that off, then I'll be happy. That's a yoke. And you're going to spend the rest of your life fighting against that. And you'll choose to live your life that way. But you are wearing a yoke. Now, this doesn't happen consciously. Many times, it happens subconsciously. I've told this story before, but when my kids were young and my wife was, we were going to the grocery store. I grew up, you know, old school for however old I am. Old school is what old school was when I was growing up, right? I grew up old school, so if something fell in the dirt, you ate it. Like, that's just got some dirt on it. It's good for you. If you got hurt, you rubbed dirt on it. Like, it was just, that's life, right? But that's not today, right? So we're going to the grocery store, and my wife's, like, pulling out the antibacterial wipe. She's wiping the grocery cart, you know, because there could be bacteria on there, right? We're washing apples. I never washed an apple in my life. I mean, pulled it out of the bag and I ate it. Man, we got to wash this apple, you know. And so I'm just like thinking, but there's a yoke, right? The world out there is dangerous and we got to keep the germs away. And when you got young kids, you do have to keep the germs away, right? We're not even sending our kids to school, man. It's the flu's out there. Keep our kids home, you know. So I thought, yo, yeah, that's ridiculous. I don't live that way. And then I'm going to the grocery store by myself one day and I'm like, wiping off the cart, right? My kid wants an apple, and I'm like washing it with a bottle of water in the parking lot. What am I doing? I didn't choose, like, oh, consciously, I think I'm afraid of germs. No, I just was around the yoke, the way to view the world, and I caught it and began to live it out. You're under a yoke, whether you know it or not. And so Jesus specifically in this moment is speaking to the Pharisees' culture, right? There's a yoke the Pharisees are putting on you, this letter of the law, this way to live. And Jesus says, it's exhausting. In fact, he rebukes them in another place saying, hey, you can't even lift that yoke on your own and you're putting it on others. So he's rebuking them. But the yoke isn't just a letter of the law. It's not just a religious yoke. That's why he says, if you understand or study the book of Galatians, Paul's trying to keep the Galatians out from under the yoke of the law. And this is what he says to them in Galatians 5:1. He says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. They were already under a yoke. They were already under a form of teaching. One of the teachings that they were under, that we are under today, is this pursuit of pleasure. I've got to be pleasurable. I've got to be happy. And so we pursue this. We know that doesn't bring us meaning and wholeness and fulfillment, but we pursue it. And then they came to Christ, and he's saying, look, you came to Christ. Don't put under the yoke of the law. Stay away from the yokes and put on the yoke of Christ. So that's point number one. You are wearing a yoke. You can disagree with me, but you're talking on the phone that's in your hand. The second thing we see here is that Jesus offers a yoke exchange. Look at this. He says, come to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. All you learn from me, and I am gentle and lowly in heart, and I will find and you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is saying, look, I have a yoke for you. In fact, this phrase, my yoke is easy, my burden light, can be translated multiple ways, but essentially it's this wholeness of my yoke is better, it fits more rightly, it makes the most sense, it's the most beneficial for you, and it's easier than the yoke the world would put on you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Now look at this. He says this, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The first understanding of this yoke is that Christ will exchange it. You have labored continually to put that yoke on you, to put that way of thinking, to live according to that law. And Christ says, come to me and I'll give you a new one. This is the gospel. You didn't have to do anything. You come to Christ and he gives you his yoke and you take his. This is what happens on the cross, right? Jesus on the cross took your sin and gave you his righteousness. He took you who were orphaned and made you adopted. He exchanged your lie for a truth. He took on the wrath of God, the curse of your sin, and gave you a blessing. This is the gospel. He exchanges. Come to me and I'll give it to you. I'll give you a rest you do not deserve and you did not earn. Isn't that beautiful? Come to me. I'll give you rest. It's a gift. Rest is a gift. Come to me, all you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the power of the gospel. Understand this, because Jesus is saying this. All other teachers would say this, come to me and I'll give you my teaching. And then if you follow the teaching to the nth degree, you will receive the fruit of that teaching. But Jesus is not a good teacher. You understand this. We can't say, oh, he was a good teacher. I'm going to read this to you because I couldn't say it better. C.S. Lewis was right when he said that there's no way of reconciling Jesus' humility of lifestyle, quality of character, and profundity of teaching with the rampant megalomania which must color his theological claims about himself if he is not God. We are invited to choose how we shall respond to so staggering a claim. Jesus is not saying, come to me, put on my teaching. We are not saved by following the teachings of Jesus. We are saved by Jesus. We come to him, we receive his rest. It is a free gift. You come to him, you were Simon, now you're Peter. In a moment, he changes your name. That's who you were. This is who you are. Receive my rest. Just imagine. I remember reading Meaning of Marriage years back and just talking about how, man, if your marriage is right and there's this connectivity with your spouse and you're on the same page and you're walking, then you can face the world because home is settled. How much more when home is settled? when our hearts are settled with God, I don't have to earn God's favor. I don't have to work for Him. Oh, if I just spend 5 more minutes, He'll like me, or pray this way, or say no this time, and then He'll smile upon me. In a moment, we receive the grace of God. We don't earn it. It is a gift. Jesus offers the yoke exchange. You can give your sin and your shame and your rampant rebellion and your pride and your self-righteousness and your continuing looking down on others. Bring it all, and He'll give you a humble confidence that only comes from a Savior, God Himself, who would step into our world. See, humble confidence, Jesus said, look, I've got it all. I've got all knowledge. I've got exclusive knowledge of God. And I'm humble. How does that even happen? I mean, you've met people that are smart, right? I mean, really smart. They're not that humble. Because knowledge puffs up, right? And so there's this not one. Jesus provides the only way because we realize, man, I'm accepted because of nothing that I've done. This is the hope of the world. Do you understand this? The hope of the world is not a new system or a new way of thinking, because as soon as that happens, our way of thinking is right and your way of thinking is wrong and you're the enemy. Y'all feel the tension, right? No, no, no. Our way of thinking is right, your way of thinking, and you're the enemy. Do you think that's going to bring the world together? No, the only way that that's going to happen is if we crush you, strip your power and your culture, and impose ours on you. But Christ said, no, you're both right and wrong at the same time. There's part of your ideology, there's part of your worldview that because you're created in the image of God, that's beautiful to Him. And there's part because you're a sinner with sin at your very core that's very twisted and wrong. On both sides. And it's only in the gospel that you're united. You're united in Christ. All of our right thinking and all of our wrong thinking and all of our sin and all of our self-righteousness and pride stripped bare at the foot of the cross. This is the hope of the world. This is humble confidence. I can love you even though I don't agree with you. This is the yoke of Christ. Now, we get the yoke in a moment. But He says, put it on you. And then learn from me. Learn from me. See, Jesus does not call us to come and exchange the yoke and become a Christian. That's not the call. In fact, the word Christian is only mentioned 3 times in the whole New Testament. Never by Jesus, because the call from Jesus was always, come and follow me. See, what's the context here? A rabbi saying, take my yoke, take my teaching. Jesus didn't invent disciple. That was before the Jews. That was before the, I mean, that was a, in this context, this is a Greek and Jewish hybrid of a context, right? You follow me. In fact, there was a, thanks to John Mark Comer, I was listening to him recently, and he was talking about this concept, and it just began alive to me that the best word we have for disciple right now, we've stripped it from its context, and now it's religious, but it wasn't religious, right? Plato was a disciple of Socrates. There was this context. And so there was this Jewish phrase that was said, may you always be covered in the dust of your rabbi. Why? Because you literally followed your rabbi around. Not like on Twitter, but actually like with them. Like, hey, like you were covered in his dust. You were with him. And so Jesus is not saying, come and say a prayer and invite me in your heart. No, come, follow me. I have a new yoke for you that you did not earn and you get as a free gift, but now you must walk with me as your rabbi, as your teacher, as, you'll see eventually, your Lord, your master. And that path, that's why Jesus says, I am the way. Not just the life, not just the truth, but the way. A way is a path. It's a well-worn way of doing life where I love my enemies and I pray for those who persecute me. I forgive those who offend me. That's a way. It's not our way, right? My way is to shiv them, right? That's my way. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you, right? You do this to me, I'm going to do this to you. You do this to my kids, I'm going to do this to your kids. That's how we have a way. But Jesus said, oh, I have a way. And if you'll let go of your bitterness because of Christ has forgiven you, you can forgive them. You can let go of your selfish ambition because you don't have to prove yourself. Christ has put his grace on you. You're already proven. I don't have to prove or work for my value because Christ valued me when he died for me. So, man, there's a new way. And look at what this way produces. You will find rest for your soul. Wait, didn't you already give us rest? Yes. There's a rest, an eternal rest for your soul rooted in the gospel. And then there is a material rest, a appropriation of that rest when you live out the gospel in your daily lives. When I'm not carrying the weight of bitterness, there's a rest for my soul. When I'm not carrying the weight of anxiety that I have to achieve this grade to be loved by someone, no, I can achieve this grade for the glory of God out of worship for him. I don't have to prove myself. He proved me. That doesn't mean I have an excuse to be lazy whatsoever. That doesn't mean, no, the yoke is real, y'all. The yoke of Christ is labor. I'm not saying go sit home and live on someone else's effort. But what I am saying is there is a way that we walk with Christ, and if we'll do it his way, there's a rest for your soul. You're talking about laying your head on your pillow at night knowing that your conscience is clean, that you live with integrity. There is a way. Much of the anxiety is that we want to live our way. We want to wear our yoke. Say, here's what we do. Here's what we do in the American church, right? Come down front, raise a hand, do the religious experience, say a prayer, ask Jesus into your heart, and now get Jesus to carry your yoke to your purpose. He doesn't carry your yoke. See, we want to have our worlds revolving around our life. This is who I am. This is what I want my world to look like. Oh, yeah, I need some help. Jesus, come in here and rotate around my solar system and bring me glory. We do it, and we invite Christ in, and we tell him, now carry this load that I've put on myself. Jesus doesn't come under that yoke. He is the rabbi. He's the teacher. And so he's inviting us as his apprentices to throw off our yoke and put on his. Come, Jesus, make my dreams come true. Take away my anxiety and let me fulfill my deep desires. But Jesus said, come, follow me, take up your cross. And die daily. It's actually in this dying that you find rest. We're groping for rest and pleasure and happiness, and all the time it comes through death, not in accumulating stuff, doing what we do. We must recenter our lives around Christ. That's why spending daily time in this word is so important. Every day, guys, I can get up here and dance and shout. I can throw stuff. I can do lots of stuff. But if this doesn't matriculate into your life to say, I've actually got to spend time with God and put on his yoke today. And see the world from his point of view. And see the person in the mirror from his point of view. You're not going to find rest for your soul. Because here's the deal. If we don't put him at the center, that just sounds like more work. Doesn't it? Okay, I'm overwhelmed and you want me to do what? No, I'm sorry. I thought you said I was overwhelmed. I thought you said, are you overwhelmed? And now you're giving me more stuff to do? Yeah, because your life is revolved around you. And so you've got to learn to realize that I've got to repent. There's a good religious word, repent. How about change your mind, change your orbit, change the center of your world around Him, and then step back and say, man, there's a lot of things orbiting here that don't need to be here. And then I got to find, because I want Him to be the chief end of my life, is Him. And so this isn't about, all right, now you're overwhelmed, man, I got some more things to do. Pray, read your Bible, go to church. No, I'm overwhelmed, I need to stay home. No, you're overwhelmed, you need to be at the feet of the one who will carry your burden. That brings us to number three. Jesus offers to carry His yoke with you. See, the yoke is two. Isn't that beautiful? Come to me, let me put my yoke on you. Oh, dear God. Right? That's too much. Have you ever tried to follow the teachings of Jesus? It only gets harder. Right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Try that. See how far. And the more you lean into it, the harder it gets. And so here you are, leaning into the teachings of Christ and realizing there is no way to carry this because you weren't meant to. This is the beauty, right? Who is inviting you to come? The one who has all knowledge of who God is and all knowledge of His creation. He's inviting you into His world, exchanging the yokes with you, getting, now look at Him. This is the beauty of it. Jesus gets under the yoke He put on you and walks with you in it. He doesn't stand like most gods and drives you with a whip. I mean, think about the God of materialism and how it just drives us. You need more. You need more. Forget your kids. Take the fifth job, right? Take the sixth job. You don't need to spend time with just more stuff. That's what you really need. And then we've sacrificed our families, the taskmaster driving us. Not saying that money's not important or that that's a yoke you might have to carry in Christ, right? You might need a third job. But are you carrying it with Him? Have you consulted Him about what you're carrying? Jesus is saying, I'm the great revealer. I am the one who knows all, sees all. And at the same time, I'm gentle and humble. I need a humble teacher, don't you? Right? I've had taskmasters. They're not that fun. But a humble teacher to get under the yoke of what you're carrying, to carry your cross. I mean, who can we trust here? Who am I going to bind myself to? There's no person I know that I want to bind myself to. I don't even want to bind myself to myself if I could clone myself. You're fired. Get out of here. There's no one I would want to bind, but maybe the one who would come down and step into my world and feel my temptations and feel and suffer for me, maybe Him. See, Christ offers us to carry His yoke with us. See, Jesus' invitation is not come work for me. It's come work with me. Son, daughter. Son, daughter, work with me. That is the grace of God. Okay, Blake, that's great. Thank you for that. I laughed a little bit. I'm inspired. Now, I'm overwhelmed. I mean, really? It's true. Now, what do I do with this? Thank you for that. Okay? Number one, ask yourself, is my life ordered around me or God? Whose yoke am I carrying? Whose vision of the good life am I living? This is amazing to me. We were talking about this the other day. This might step on some toes, so forgive me, but just give me grace. We were talking the other day and about this concept. This is how we are flavored by the culture and we don't even know it, right? Think about when you see a family that's got 8 kids, right? How does that hit you? Dear God, what's wrong with them? Right? Doesn't that hit you like that? Why? Nothing in this Bible says that. Nothing, but our materialistic world does. Oh, we can't buy all those kids stuff. Right? And then how are we going to pay for their college? And we think about, so we have ordered a mindset and adopted it and feel justified. How dare they? But that's not a mindset we got from God. Now, you might have a special situation. And as you've walked with Jesus, you said, you know what, we're only going to have one kid. Like, that's God's plan for us. Or maybe you can't even have children. That's a weight that you're bearing. Let Christ get under that yoke and bear it with you. That's a suffering that you're carrying. So we're all carrying, but think about that, how the world has defined what's good and right. Now, are we letting Christ define what's good and right? So, is our world revolved around one, us, or is it revolved around God? Two, have I gone to God like a child? This is what he said at the beginning of this. Thank you, Father, you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and give them to babes. It's only when we come like a child and say, you know what, Father, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. What do you want me to do? Whose yoke should I carry? Then you ask yourself, am I carrying weight or expectations that Jesus has not asked me to carry? I'm wearing his yoke, not his yoke, or his yoke, or their yoke, the social media there. Am I carrying their yoke? Have I allowed what I'm believing about the world by what I'm looking at, and I'm living according to the best life I see here? Or am I seeing the best life I see here at his throne? And then you ask today, Father, I'm overwhelmed. I know I'm carrying your yoke, and this yoke is more than I can carry. Help me lower. See, y'all have ever done this before? But if you've got two people carrying something on your shoulders, right, and it's level, if you get lower, they carry more weight, right? So I'm walking with my brother, we're carrying something, I'm just realizing, man, if I get a little lower, then he's got to carry more than I do. And so as we go low in our humility, saying, God, I need you. God, I need you. The grace of God, God opposes the proud. Oh, I got this. Yeah, you got it. And it's crushing you, right? And so we go low so that he carries our burdens, right? Now, you might be in here today and say, like, I ain't going to overwhelmed. My life is awesome. I mean, there's probably a good percentage of us like we're just not overwhelmed. Like, what do you want me to do with this? Just not that overwhelmed. It's true. Okay? And this is what I would say. I'd say, man, look around you at the multitudes who are. And are we like the Pharisees not lifting a finger to lift their load? Just let them carry it. Lord, bless them, Lord. Bless them. Or, in Galatians 6, are we saying, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ? Just as Christ got under my load and helped me carry it, Father, I want to step into another's world and help them carry that load. There's all over this room, there are loads being carried that we know nothing about. We're hiding them, some of us. Some of us, we're not even hiding. If someone would just ask, we'd tell them. We got lots of loads. Right? I'm that family with 8 kids, and I got 6 that you can take care of this week. Right? I got lots of loads, right? But there's loads that we can help carry each other's burden. Carry each other's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. So practically, this morning, find out who's carrying a load in your sphere. And how you can help them carry it. and be Christ. Right? The picture of Christ in their world. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning that you're good to us and that you offer something that sounds too good to be true. Father, I pray that you would help us today exchange our yoke for yours. Learn to let you carry the load. And Lord, help us to look around and see who needs some help. Who needs some help? Just if you carried our load, that we might help others carry their load. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to listen to this invitation. It's not what you think. It's in Blake. I have been carrying my own yoke and I want to exchange it this morning for Christ's. If that's you this morning, I want you to raise your hand. All over this room. Okay, you can put your hand down. I want you to pray. See, here's what we do. This is the invitation from Jesus. Come to me. What does that require? One, that you need help. And two, you know where to get it. It's Christ. Father, come. So if you raise your hand, I want you to pray this with me. Say, Jesus, help me today rely on you and what you've done for me. In the leading of your Holy Spirit, that I would let you do what only you can do. And Father, help me do what you're asking me to do. Jesus, I ask that you would help us this week. Pray every morning, Lord. Help us carry our burdens. Help us not carry yours. And Lord, help us to be awakened to those around us who are carrying burdens that you are asking us to help carry, to be the hands and feet of Jesus around us. Father, help us today, this week, be a light to our city, to be a part of the change we want to see in the world. Lord, we pray that your glory would come in this city in fresh and new ways, not just from people in this congregation, but congregations all over this city who love Jesus. Lord, we pray that the light of Christ would radiate. Lord, that we would live out our faith in tangible and real ways around us. Lord, we would be open to the ministry that you're bringing to us, Lord. Lord, help us this week to be salt and light in our city. In Jesus' name, amen.